from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, that's right, Devone. It is football season, baby. Lock in. Lock in. Also, I can't hear any of you guys because I don't have my headphones on, but I got this wicked helmet on.
From the 1970s? You look like John Brody.
I think this was Morton Anderson's at one point. The one bar kicker? Or was that Gary Anderson?
Gary Anderson.
I always get him confused.
That's a good look, my man.
Yeah, David Akers, I think, wore this back in the day. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone here on 95.7 The Game. And
you ever heard of a kicker named Sean Lendetta?
No, who's that?
Kick with the New York Giants. And a good punter. Good punter. I want to say like early 2000s in the 90s. Go ahead. That reminds me, I used to wear those things, and my brother used to just terrorize me when I was a kid. I had like this Oakland Raider helmet, and he just dragged me around by the face mask, and I'd be looking out of the ear hole just crying. But anyways. Sean Lendetta, kick with the New York Giants. The guy got more attractive women. I'm trying to put this politely. Than any player you've ever seen. Now, obviously, it was New York City, but I mean more than whoever the starting quarterback was back in the day, and he was this pudgy, just very unassuming player on the team. And I am telling you, go look at Sean Lendetta and the history, the record, the women that he dated and hung out with in New York City for just this lumpy punter. The guy, you know, he got it done off the field. So,
oh, my God.
He was a winner on and off. I'm looking at him right now. This guy had a nice handlebar mustache. I can tell you that, Dan.
All right. We'll leave it at that.
Well, but I also want to leave it at
that. Someone brought up the Niners haven't won since 95 either in terms of a Super Bowl. Because we were dogging the Dallas Cowboys who haven't been to a championship game since 95.
That is true. But I also think, look, there's always a space for me, and maybe I'm different than a lot of sports fans. I don't know how you feel about this, Devone. Yes, it is about winning championships. But I do have to also account for how successful you are if you don't. And the Niners have been to multiple Super Bowls, three of which in my lifetime. They've been to countless NFC Championship games. I know they haven't won it, but my comparison using the Cowboys was about how much they're worth. Again, $10 billion as of, I think, earlier this week via Forbes. And they have not been to an NFC title game since 1995. So I have not seen a Dallas Cowboys team win multiple playoff games enough to even get back to the point where they could assume or presume that they could get to a Super Bowl. So, to me, comparing the Niners and the Cowboys, yes, they have not won Super Bowls, but
two entirely different franchises.
They're very, very different. Also, the way they're run. The way that when you think of the Cowboys, you think of Jerry Jones. When I think of the 49ers, I think of their players. And that, to me, is the mark of a franchise that I take legitimately.
And I think that you have to sort of stand by the thought process that just getting to Super Bowls, whether you win one or not, that just, I always remind people, it's an oval ball. Where that thing bounces, who the hell knows? But just getting there and then letting the stars align. If you win or you don't win, but getting to the Super Bowl, that's the mountain you want to climb. And the 49ers have shown that they've been a winning franchise, whereas the Dallas Cowboys have not. The Dallas Cowboys, I always, always repeat this, that this is, and I've said this for years, that they will not win a Super Bowl. They will not get back to that NFC Championship game. They won't get to where it is that everybody has talked about, whether you like them, because they divide the room as much as the Yankees or any other New York team. You either love or hate the Cowboys, which is why they are so successful. But until Jerry Jones is 8 feet under, and I know that sounds pretty morbid, but until that man perishes from the earth, they will never win a Super Bowl. Mark it down. He gets in his own way time and time. Look at what they're dealing with right now. You could have signed Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons is right behind him. It's just a mess. He does this all the time. He is the worst owner slash GM while at the same time being the best owner in the
NFL. I was going to say, see, I can't go that far because when you talk about ownership, it's about money.
Yeah.
It's about green.
But in terms of winning, which I truly believe he wants to do, he has no idea, and it's been proven time and time again, since he kicked Jimmy Johnson out of the building, there's never been somebody in place with hairspray and a hairdo, as both of those men exhibit.
Yeah, Switzer.
They will not win until he won't obviously leave the team. He's not going to step aside. So when that man, when you go to his funeral, Cowboy fans, from that point forward is when you'll have that opportunity at finally winning that elusive Super Bowl.
Yeah, in many ways, it's kind of like Al Davis towards the end, I think. Like, Al Davis is a winner. I mean, he's the owner, decision maker, won championships with the Raiders a long time ago. But towards the end, I think it was fair for a lot of people who called him senile.
He lost touch. I don't think Jerry Jones is there yet, but it's more subtle that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing in terms of management. As an owner, I mean, he's Barnum and Bailey.
Well, that's where you got to allow people to take over, make decisions for you. And in fact, to bring it to the 49ers, who also kick off tomorrow, let's say 5:15 against the Saints, I believe, week two of the preseason.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock kickoff between the 49ers and the Saints. We're going to get to see Brock Purdy play in the preseason for the first
time.
All
the starters, I believe.
Yeah, the majority of them. At least going to get one series, perhaps two. Well, not all the starters.
That's true.
Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams are not going to be there, at least I would assume, even if they sign by the end of the show. But to bring it to the 49ers, that's where, to me, Jed York has taken strides, taken steps. He has put people in positions around him that are good decision makers, and he's put his trust in them because you can't do everything. Whether you're a football expert or you know nothing about the game, you are going to need some help. And I think that Jed York has positioned his front office and coaching staff, by extent, in a spot where they are competitive year in and year out. And so I agree with you, Dan. With Jerry Jones, I don't think the Cowboys will ever win a Super Bowl. But with regards to this season and the San Francisco 49ers, where would you place their chances to win the Super Bowl this year?
The 49ers?
Currently, yes.
Well, I'd put them as the team to beat in the NFC. I think that, you know, going in, now obviously, you never know in terms of injuries and what's going to take place throughout the course of a game and a season, but that's the team on paper to come out of the NFC. I think, you know, how improved is Green Bay? Are they going to continue to take steps? Detroit seems to be real. So there's some obstacles, and Philadelphia is always in the hunt. But certainly my money's on the Niners to get back there. Again, whether you win that Super Bowl or not, you know, who the hell knows? But getting there, I see them as the favorite, no doubt.
I think they're the favorite, but I think there's a lot more resistance than there was a year ago. Like last year, there were no excuses And I guess to some extent, there's no excuses this year. But to me, Dan, the odds have changed. Like, if last year they were, I don't know, 2 or 3 to 1 favorites to make the Super Bowl out of the NFC, it's dropped a bit closer to, I think, 5 to 1, 6 to 1.
Who do you think is challenging them?
Well, I think it's a combination of other teams taking steps forward and the Niners taking a step back, because I don't think they're as talented as last year's group, and much more is going to be on the shoulders of Brock Purdy, even assuming that Brandon Ayuk eventually figures out his contract situation. I believe he will, and Trent Williams is back in the fold, because I'm looking at an NFC. I think the Eagles are improved, and I think that they were a collapse away.
That Sirianni thing is going to get ugly, I think. The Sirianni hurts sort of disconnect, and he doesn't really know what it is that's going on offensively.
Yeah, but I think that, I don't believe Sirianni is a great head coach, but I also think that Kellen Moore is a pretty damn good play caller, mm-hmm. and I think that was a big reason why they were successful a couple of years ago with Shane Steichen as the OC, and getting Kellen Moore in there now is going to help them get back on track. I also think being able to pick up Saquon Barkley is going to help them quite a bit. Defensively, I'm a little worried, but I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be competitive. I think you're right about the Detroit Lions. I think you can't write off the Green Bay Packers. A Chicago Bears team that's probably a year away is going to be markedly better. I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to give the 49ers a run for their money in their division. So again, I think the Niners are the team to beat in the NFC. But I think that their path to the Super Bowl is looking to me like it's much more difficult than a year ago.
Yeah, I know. When you think that they're not, I don't know if I can go there when you say that they're not as good as they were a year ago. Or that they've, I forgot how you phrased it.
I don't think they're as talented.
See, the reason why I would stop short of saying that is because Brock Purdy is getting more experience with every game. And it's a quarterback-centric league, as we all know. And, this is another opportunity and more games for him to sort of even get better than he was. Now, is he going to put up the same sort of numbers? Doubtful. But I still think he's going to be a better quarterback. The Ayuk situation, obviously, is fluid. You're better with him. If it's not Ayuk, then you need somebody at wide receiver, right? Aside from Ricky Pearsall, somebody proven. But I still think the 49ers are clearly the team to beat. Does that mean that they're going? You have no idea. But I think as of right now, where we sit in the middle of August and in our second preseason game, that it's the 49ers that are at the top of the mountain in the NFC.
They are. I just don't think that the mountain is as steep as it was a year ago. And that's why last year sucks for a lot of Niners fans, because it was an incredible chance to win it all. I mean, if you're looking around the NFL, I think a lot of the top dogs are in the AFC. But because of the gauntlet that is the AFC, I think the Niners should feel good about their chances. It was interesting, though, because you brought up Ayuk, and Shanahan was asked about it yesterday. And I want to get your thoughts on this sound, Dan, because he was asked if there was a point in which he would fine Brandon Ayuk, who is holding in still. Reports, the latest from ESPN's Mike Garafolo, is that they're ironing out the last year of his deal, that the first 3 years of the wide receiver's contract have been sorted out. But the issue right now in the holdup, it seems to be guaranteed money in the fourth and final year. And I have thoughts on that in a moment, but I want to hear yours on what Kyle Shanahan had to say when asked about whether or not he would fine Brandon Ayuk.
I think it has to do with when they have injuries and stuff, so I don't sit there and kind of play that game. That's how the league works right now. I mean, that's how the rules are. You have a hold-in, guys usually have something wrong with them, so they can keep doing that, and so I just coach the team.
And so this is kind of the key detail about Ayuk, is that he's technically injured. He's listed out with a back injury. So they can't fine him if he's hurt. But I also think that Shanahan gave us a little insight with the follow-up question. I believe this was from Mike Silver.
I want to make sure I understand. Are you saying if there's a hold-in and you force the issue, that you would expect like a Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville type of situation where, oh, my back hurts and I'm just not playing?
I'm just saying when you guys call it a hold-in, and I'm not disagreeing with you guys on that, but people say that they're hurt. I think BA's got a sore back right now, and it is what it is.
That sounds like a guy to me who's a little perturbed with his wide receiver.
Yeah, this is where you didn't want it to get. Like, this is what can really contaminate a locker room. That a guy feigning an injury while everybody else is out there playing just so that he can work a loophole and get paid. Shanahan's not down with that. And so this has to be resolved one way or the other, because this is not a recipe to continue into the season. I think it's reached a point where Kyle Shanahan emotionally, and as we know, he can be very emotional in terms of his decision-making. So this has to be either sign on the dotted line, trade him, or make him play. But this limbo is not healthy for anybody. And especially when you're talking about potentially having that trickle down and contaminate what I always think is sort of that sacred place. Because if you get the locker room right at any sport, it translates to wins and losses on the field.
I agree. The thing that strikes me about that comment is that Shanahan is essentially admitting to the media that what they believe it to be a hold-in is what he also believes. But the Jalen Ramsey comp, I think, is key, because Ramsey in Jacksonville was trying to get a new contract and basically showed up to camp and was like, yeah, I got a bum leg. I can't practice. They can't make you practice. But everyone and their mom knows that you can practice and that what it really is about is money. And Kyle Shanahan has no problem with it being about money. He's been in the game long enough. But I think he's also an old school guy. And I think Kyle Shanahan would prefer that if this is about money, well, just don't show up then. Don't be there. Don't make a circus every single day. And this is also something that I feel like anybody can relate to. If you go to work and someone is in the middle of a contract negotiation, you have no problem. They're trying to get their money. They're trying to get what's duly deserved. But then they're hanging around the office. They're still sitting in on meetings. They're still, in the case of Brandon Ayuk, on the side in Niners gear or Niners colored gear, you know, doing sprints with some of the other injured players, kind of halfway in, halfway out. And some people might look at that and say, well, he's just being a good teammate. You know, he wants to be around. He loves the guys. I've been pro Brandon Ayuk this entire time. I believe he deserves to get paid. I think he's an important piece if the Niners are to get to where you want them to, Dan, and get back to the Super Bowl. But I also think that he's got to make a choice. And the choice isn't necessarily signing or not signing. The choice is, are you going to actually make it about the money and tell people what this is has always been about? Or are you kind of just going to linger and still be the sideshow? That's the only thing that I have an issue with, is that Brandon Ayuk has made this a sideshow. And it shouldn't be. It should be about getting paid. And I don't have a problem with the way that CeeDee Lamb is holding out in Dallas. I don't have a problem with the way that the Bengals are handling the Ja'Marr Chase situation, because there appears to be a clear understanding of those two wide receivers' goals to get their bread. Brandon Ayuk is, every single time he's out there, and Carter's been at training camp, every time he's been out there, I get a text from him and say, oh, well, Ayuk's doing this, or Ayuk's... Everybody's got all eyes on Ayuk, and he knows that. He's making it about him and not about the team, and that's what I have a problem with.
And I think it has to come to a head, because Kyle Shanahan, as he just intimated in that sound pop, is fed up with this, and it can't continue. Because, again, this has a domino effect, and you just don't want that guy in the room. Either sign him, we can all say, welcome back to the fold, high fives and hugs, and let's get after it. Let's start week one, get after the Jets in marching towards another Super Bowl. Or, yes, hold out and or trade the guy. But this cannot continue. Because, and you mentioned this last week, because I put it to you, I said one of the few leverage plays that he has is that if they make him play, because at the end of the day, the 49ers still have him under contract for $14.1 million. One of the few leverage plays that Brandon Ayuk has is that he can say, all right, I'll play, but I don't want to be here. And he can be disgruntled. And he can be that 900-pound elephant in the locker room. And to me, that can be as detrimental as anything else on a professional football, baseball, or basketball team. But, you know, you illuminated me by pointing out the fact that, you know, highlighting the fact that he's never been that guy, that he has never been somebody that's been difficult, or nor do you hear him chirp from time to time or being passive aggressive and using sort of the media as a crutch, as you oftentimes hear from standout wide receivers like that of a Davante Adams or fill in the blank, that they need more passes their way. They're not happy. So how do you wrap your arms around this? Is he that guy or is he not? Because right now he looks as though he's being that prima donna that does not care about anything else but himself.
Well, just because you haven't been that in the past doesn't mean that you don't have the capacity to be it in the future. Like, I think this is the first time that I believe that Ayuk has made it about Ayuk. And it's not that I don't like it as much as I'm hearing Kyle Shanahan doesn't like it. And that does matter. What I think, what you think, what Carter thinks, what people think around the Bay Area about what Brandon Ayuk is doing or not doing, quite frankly, doesn't matter to the team. But if Kyle Shanahan sounds dissatisfied and frustrated with the fact that he has to go up here every single day and answer these questions, and I think this is a fair one, by the way, from the Xfinity Mobile text line from the 510, why does the media continue to pry when they know the answer and all they want is a soundbite to make people feel bad? I don't think it's about making someone feel bad. I think it's about figuring out where the team is at so that we can assess how great the chances of the Niners winning or getting back to the Super Bowl is. And right now, I do not hear a team that is as connected as they were last year. And it's not just because of Brandon Ayuk. It's because of the 49ers front office. I mean, they could have given him whatever his final ask is. If the details are truly the final and fourth year or the future of 3 years, if that's the only detail, well, then the Niners do have some, they do have their hands on this. They do, you know, they are responsible for this not being done to some extent. They could just give him that fourth and final year.
But no one guarantees the last year.
And that's the hang up, is that IU clearly wants that. So, I don't mind that. I don't mind you wanting to get every single last penny. I mean, that's what Bosa did last offseason. He took the bank from the 49ers. Yeah. But there also has to be, at least in my opinion, maybe this just is how I am, I don't think making it a sideshow is the right way to go. I don't think that's going to further Ayuk's leverage. I don't think that's going to help him in the long run get what he wants. Because if they truly are at the 2-yard line, well, then what's the point of showing up and saying, well, I'm hurt so I can't practice, and that means you can't find me? By the way, and I don't know how you feel about this, Carter, the 49ers can forgive his fines. Like, if Ayuk didn't show up to camp or wasn't out there on the practice field and got fined, whatever Trent Williams is currently being fined, they could forgive that.
Well, what about game checks?
Game checks they also can forgive for a guy on a rookie deal. They can't do it after, but they can forgive Brandon Ayuk right now. I don't know. Where do you kind of come down on this, Carter?
I mean, they're going to cover that, of what he's missed. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, there's no way that he's going to be happy with them saying, you need to eat these fines, basically. Whatever the new contract's going to be, it's going to be covering whatever he's missed. There's no doubt. Same with Trent Williams.
Well, Trent, they can't forgive. I think he's going to be back, and he also doesn't need the money. The thing about Ayuk that kind of confuses me is, if this has always been about the fine money, right? I think that's why he showed up in the first place, why he's holding in, is because he doesn't want to get fined.
Well, Trent, they can't forgive, right? But they can write into his new contract that he can be paid basically retrospectively, I think, for what he's missed, is what I've understood.
Yeah, and we can get to Trent Williams on the other side, but just my final thoughts on Ayuk is, I don't understand the need to be around, to be seen, to kind of use the optical lens to further your leverage when it sounds like you're already where you need to be anyways. The last thing that needs to get ironed out is the fourth year of the contract. That's as close to the goal line as I've heard this entire time. And it sounds like he's gotten and extracted more money out of the 49ers as this thing has played out. So he has achieved his goal by not signing at the beginning of the offseason, by getting to this point and getting more money. So then what's the point in showing up and kind of being a practice and not?
I guess the only thing I would say before we get to the break is that we just don't know. We don't know in terms of... It seems imminent that this contract is going to get done, But I've never seen anything like this. Like, just when you think, and we've been here before at the threshold, that this thing has taken so many turns, and there's been so many peaks and valleys and ebb and flow, that who knows what that proverbial other shoe, when it does drop, where that's going to go with this. At this point, I can clearly tell you that, yeah, typically I would say if it was any other player, any other negotiation, this is going to be done by Monday. Right now, who the hell knows? So in defense of Brandon Ayuk, I guess, to a certain point, he's got to do what it is that he feels he's got to do, because you cannot count on anything in terms of something getting done between the two sides.
That's fair. And I do, there's one more thought I have, but I'll get to it on the other side. There's also something that Shanahan said specifically about Trent Williams. Debo talking about Brandon Ayuk on the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams on FanDuel TV that I want to play for you guys as we continue to figure out just where the 49ers are at as they begin their second week of the preseason, second game of the preseason, I should say. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock kickoff between the Niners and the Saints. We'll also have overtime coverage right here on 95.7 The Game as we roll on here on a Saturday. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone, back with you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After this.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, halfway home here on a Saturday. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone, alongside Carter Chickering with you. And look, I'm just come out and say it, Dan. Brandon Ayuk's won. He's won. It sounds like he's going to get what he wants, which is a whole lot of money and then some. He's going to be a San Francisco 49er, and he's going to be a major part of an offense that last year was one of, if not the best, most efficient in football, with Brock Purdy at the helm alongside Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey and all the rest. He's going to get what he wants. He is going to get what he wants. But it sounds like in the process of doing so, he is frustrating his head coach. And that is something that I don't like. It ain't about us. It's about the team. And if Kyle Shanahan sounds like he's frustrated with Brandon Ayuk, then that is something that I have to pay attention to.
Well, first of all, when you say he's won, we got to see the numbers on the contract.
I believe he will, when it comes out, win. I could be wrong.
No, you could be right, but I think that to be honest with you, these contracts are beyond my bandwidth. Like, they'll come out with a number, but that APY, as you and I have discussed, means nothing. It's all about cap hits. It's about deferred money. It's about the guaranteed money and how it stacks up against Tariq Hill or Justin Jefferson. Only the agents, Prag Marate, and people that really get into the weeds with this sort of stuff are going to know who won or who lost in terms of his asking price. The numbers that we see, we can banter about. A lot of it is just for vanity, I think. The APY, $30 million a year, I'm in the top five, or I'm making as much as Amon-Ra St. Brown or whomever. But really, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty in terms of who won or lost, as far as dollars and cents, I think you need like a degree in this sort of thing to understand just how much money one side gave up and the other made. But, I mean, when you think about it, after all the craziness, we're right back where we started. Two teams are sitting at a table hammering out a deal. This could have happened back in March or in April. So despite all the trade and trade rumors, we're really right back to square one.
Especially because, you're right, it's also, this has been a six-month thing. 2 days after the Super Bowl, Ayuk's girlfriend posted on social media that this might be the last time that they're going to Levi's Stadium. I cannot imagine that the Niners did not foresee a contract negotiation that needed to happen with that. This has taken 6 months. And I also think it's taken 6 months for someone like Kyle Shanahan to get to the point where he finally is becoming a bit frustrated with Brandon Ayuk. And it's not that he hasn't signed, and it's not that he's, you know, not going to be a part of the team, but it's that because, and I've been reluctant to use this word because I have been very pro Brandon Ayuk over this summer, doing whatever he needs to do to get his money. I'm at the point, Dan, where I do believe he will get the money that he wants. And the final year is the only thing that needs to be ironed out. The last bit of guaranteed money, whatever that is. I think Brandon Ayuk is going to win. So at the point where you've won, using all these leverage tactics, it becomes a moot point. What you are right now, what Brandon Ayuk has become, is a distraction. And a distraction is not something, in my opinion, that this 49ers team that is top dog in the NFC, that wants to be back where they were last year with his, you know, an arm's reach away from a Super Bowl, a distraction is what you cannot afford to have. And I do think Brandon Ayuk is dangerously close to approaching that territory.
So just getting back to the contract, and again, I defer to the people, the nerds that do this for a living, well beyond what it is of my understanding and all of this sort of stuff. The last year of the contract, because I used Tariq Hill as an example, they often refer to that as funny money. They very rarely, if ever, guarantee that last year. But Tariq Hill, he negotiated $43 million for the last year of his deal with the Miami Dolphins, which most likely they'll never pay. But the reason he factored in that $43 million is that when you averaged out the total sum, it came out to the 30 per. So again, it's for vanity reasons that that last year is put in there so that the average salary over the span of the contract puts you at a number that is competitive, say, with the top wide receivers in football. It's not only done for your vanity's sake, but also agents, right? Like, agents want to say, I got my guy signed for X amount of dollars. Like, the APY, whether it's accurate or not, means a lot to the player in terms of their ego, and it means a lot to the agent. So the agent can walk around and saying, when trying to recruit new talent, why don't you come to our stable? Look what it is that I got Brandon Ayuk. How much did he make? $30 million. He's right up there with the top wide receivers in all of football. So on those levels, when you talk about the back end of the last year, the contract, as far as I understand it, that money isn't guaranteed. Oftentimes that funny money is thrown in there to sort of boost the APY. Just to get back to Brandon Ayuk, and I think that this is where this all started with in defending the 49ers. To your point, when it came to Nick Bosa, I think that's one of the times, one of the few times, because I think the 49ers are very shrewd when they put on their business hats. But they blinked against Bosa. Bosa won that deal. Bosa got over on the 49ers. That doesn't happen. It went way too long. I mean, it encroached into the regular season. So on the heels of that, and the fact that you've got Brock Purdy, as we all know, is looming, that's where we're at with Brandon Ayuk. I think it's not personal with Brandon Ayuk, because a lot of people have said, well, listen, you've paid the others. Why aren't you paying me? It's just circumstantial, Ev. It's like you just so happen to be. Yes, we have taken care of our players, going back to Fred Warner and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa. It just happens to be circumstantial that you got wedged in between after us losing to Nick Bosa and what it is that we're going to have to pay Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, the Purdy contract looms over everything. I also want to bring Carter into this discussion because you've been at training camp pretty much every day this week. You've seen the sort of progression of the publicity that Ayuk has been putting forth, right? I mean, you said that one day he wasn't in Niners gear, the next day he was. How have you seen what Brandon Ayuk's like publicly done this week?
It's been really interesting. He, for kind of most of the week, he just stands there on the sideline and watches drills, and he keeps a very unreadable face on. And on top of that, he wears generic NFL clothing, which is really interesting. But Friday, that kind of really
changed
in the fact that he was wearing red. I don't know if it was 49er logoed red.
That was Thursday.
And he was running agility drills in the corner with Ricky Pearsall, which we have not seen him do. At least he has not shown the media really on the field him doing anything active. So it was kind of, I mean, pretty surprising at least.
Yeah, so I mean, it feels like he's doing that on purpose. And it could be a demonstration of how close they are to a contract. Like the fact that I am going to be out there working means that we're, you know, 98% of the way there. But I don't know about you, Dan. And it might just be me, but dude, if you're on the practice field, you got to practice. If you're hurt, you're hurt. You stay on the sideline and you do your rehab and you work in the background. If you're on the practice field, I need you to practice. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be around the team and you're you know, joshing with wide receivers, it's like the kid in class who everyone knows is super smart can just run up and get an A on the specific test, but is in class just distracting all the rest of the kids that are there to try and work because they actually do need to put the work in. Brandon Ayuk, I believe he's in shape. I believe the moment that week one starts, if he's on the field, he's going to be playing at an all-pro level like he did last year. And Brock Purdy's going to get him the ball, and he's got a great chance to rack up numbers and help the Niners win games. I believe all of that. Okay, so everyone else also needs to quit being the guy that is basically distracting your teammates. I think that Brandon Ayuk is approaching distraction territory because he is not making the decision, or he, I should say, is intentionally making the choice to be out there on the field when either he shouldn't be because he's reportedly hurt or because, I'm not really going to go 100%.
And that's why this thing has to end, because that's not sustainable. And again, if this is going to have a cancerous effect on the rest of that locker room and team, it has to come to an end today. I mean, I hearken back and make the basketball analogies. Remember Anthony Davis in his final years in New Orleans when it was a foregone conclusion he wanted out and he would do the same thing? Wasn't playing with the Pelicans because he wanted to go to L.A., wanted to play with LeBron, and he'd feign these silly injuries. James Harden sitting on a bench. And the team, it's not as though you can't see that the 7-foot-1-inch best player on our team is not playing, yet he's in uniform. It disrupted everything to the point where now, Anthony Davis got his wish because ownership and management and coaches are like, he's got to go. This has to stop. I can't coach the rest of the team because of this one player. Now, we're not at that level with Brandon Ayuk, but there's precedence here. Carter, a couple of things I wanted to ask you. So I'm been hearing a lot about Brock Purdy is apparently yoked and ripped. Can you see any physical differences with him? And as well as Brandon Ayuk.
I will say this. I haven't really seen that big of a physical difference. I think that's a little blown over, if you want my opinion. They ran an amazing trick play.
Oh, yes, with Deebo.
In which it was a double reverse, basically. Deebo got the ball, and he threw it to Purdy on a go route. and Brock caught it. He even made a move on the defender, got butt past him, and he blew it.
It's Diamador Lenore beat, I believe.
50 yards.
Yeah.
Didn't they have a name for the play, too?
I think it was Per Dog?
Per Dog. Yeah, he said that at the podium. I thought that was pretty cool.
So let me just ask you this. When we had a trick play at St. Ignatius...
When you're running the wing tee?
In leather helmets. When we had a trick play, simply because we would play Reardon, Sacred Heart, City Schools...
Stuart Hall?
We're relatively close, no.
Okay.
Is Stuart Hall a football team?
We do, actually, yes.
Oh, okay. But when we had a trick play, we would go into the gymnasium because Reardon would have their spies, would have people walking around
spies.
In their
pants.
Well, you'd have people, it's a city thing. Like, oh, SI, you should have seen what they did. It's like, you know, everybody sort of hangs out somewhere, like whether it's the circle or the boathouse is where we used to drink back in the day.
Oh, we got the Patriots Spygate going on in San Francisco?
Well, if you're the 49ers and you're at this early in the season and it's practice, why the hell is Brock Purdy talking about it? Like, why is this of public consumption? Like, I shouldn't have known about this. Like, I'm telling you, if it's a trick play, like, there shouldn't be any video on it. We shouldn't be discussing it. Some things can be clandestine. Like, some things can be under wraps. Get into that gymnasium like us in St. Ignatius and then, you know, pull it out for that fake two-pointer as we pulled against the Crusaders of Reardon in that particular football game.
Well, I feel like every team's got the Philly special, right? That certain package, I don't know, the Per Dog package, whatever it is. But no one knows when you're going to use it. It's not like they're sitting there on a fourth down, a fourth and one, and they're like, all right, guys, watch out for Per Dog. No, they're watch out for halfback dive, McCaffrey up the middle, right behind or to the left side behind Trent Williams, assuming he's on the field week one. No, I mean, I didn't mind it. I thought it was actually really cool.
Did you see it?
Well, Carter just described it to
us. Yeah, no, I'm wondering if there's video of it.
Probably someone's got it out there on their phone somewhere. But the fact that they did it publicly, I also think it's like, Yeah, you got to try it. You got to try those things. I don't know if you're going to do it, I don't know, behind closed doors, but
I'm not a big fan of trick plays. I'll just tell you that. I like a team line up, hit them in the face, beat them, go in a gap down the field, let the other team take their soul, be a better team than them, throw a pass, complete it, run it over, and get to the second level. Trickery is just like...
You got to have that stuff in the play. But I mean, in the Super Bowl, Juwan Jennings threw a touchdown to Christian McCaffrey.
I wouldn't call that... Is that necessarily trickery, I guess? Halfback options or... Yeah.
I mean, it was a lateral, and Jennings barely got that ball off, by the way.
Do you remember the fumble Ruski? Like, that wasn't even football.
I mean, in the longest yard, that works. But
I mean, that wasn't even... We weren't even playing football anymore.
Georgia Tech versus, I don't know, Shadron State? Yeah, I could see it. By the way, week zero is coming up in college football. But let's get out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570 is the number. You know, is Ayuk approaching the distraction territory for you? How the Niners handled this? I mean, to me, I think this thing is coming to a head. It's going to come to a close very soon. I'm not worried about the money. What I am worried about is hearing Kyle Shanahan, I don't know, it's seemingly frustrated with the amount of questions that he's got to answer, whether or not Ayuk is all in, halfway out. What are you hearing about it? Also, there's a couple of other teams that I want to look at in a moment that have also dealt with some hold-ins or hold-outs in specific ways. The Niners could have played it. I'm not sure. But let's go down to San Jose, talk to one of our favorites. Austin, you're on with Evan and Dan. What's up, my man?
Hey, happy Saturday, guys. Listen, I kind of think I'm a non-Niner fan, so I can be a little bit objective. I think that Ayuk has misplayed it. I think he showed some immaturity in even showing up. I agree he shouldn't be there probably. I think he's getting some bad advice. I think he should change agents after this go around. But the other part of it, though, the balance of it is I'm not sure that I agree the 49ers have handled this very well. I don't understand why they haven't already traded him, to be honest with you. I mean, he's not the first time a great player, and I wouldn't even call him a great receiver at this point. I call him a good receiver.
Yeah.
But the guys better than him have been traded, so I don't know why everybody thinks that Ayuk can't be traded. He certainly can be traded. Maybe he should have been by now. They probably could have got value for him, and then they wouldn't have distractions. If they're such a great franchise that everybody keeps saying they are, and Kyle's this genius that can make anybody – work, then why are they worried about Ayuk? Get somebody else. I mean, I don't, so to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think they're setting a bad precedent. I think the reason why One reason why they don't want to pay him what he wants is because if they pay him what he wants, guys, every time somebody else gets paid more, he's going to come in for a reset. He's already kind of said he's going to be that kind of player. So I don't know why everybody would think he's going to change. He's going to want to increase every other year. Then the other thing about Purdy, I don't understand why you guys, everybody doesn't seem to have a problem with Purdy getting paid. In fact, Purdy's, according to you guys, is already going to get $60 million next year. I want to ask Evan right now, and I'm going to challenge you.
Oh boy.
First of all, I don't believe he's going to get anywhere near $60 million. And I think he's going to come in somewhere around 30 to 35 max. No one else, and the reason why they don't have to pay him, no one else in the NFL is going to pay him that kind of money. It'll be compete with himself. So why would they pay Brock Purdy $60 million? Give me two or three teams that'll give Brock Purdy that kind of money. I'm waiting, guys. I'll listen. Thanks.
No, Austin, hold on. I guess he dropped. But I was going to ask Austin if he thought that Dak Prescott was a $60 million quarterback. Because he's going to be, I think he is going to be a free agent next year. I mean, we talked about Jerry Jones not knowing what the hell he's doing in Dallas. And I think a result of that is Dak Prescott either re-signing with the Dallas Cowboys or going elsewhere. And I think once he becomes a $60 million per year quarterback, I don't know what the guaranteed money is going to be. But to me, that does make Brock Purdy a $60 million quarterback. So that would be my response, Austin. I appreciate you calling in. Always enjoy the conversation. And he said something that I want to get to in a moment, but I mean, do you think Dak Prescott is a $60 million quarterback, Dan?
In this market, yeah, because that's the going rate.
Then in my mind, that makes Brock Purdy a $60 million quarterback.
He is, but I think to Austin's point, it sort of gets back to, look at, if Patrick Mahomes is up, then he's getting market value, and more so. Same holds true for Amon-Ra St. Brown, or, well, we'll keep it to quarterbacks, Jared Goff. But this sort of has a tinge, if I'm to read Austin correctly, of there's still a strong belief that Brock Purdy can't do this anywhere else aside from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So he might be worth $60 million to San Francisco, but if he goes out on the free market and I need a quarterback, am I paying him upwards to $60 to $65 million?
What about Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the other part. And to answer Austin's question about what other teams would pay him, I'm not sure if there are two or three, but I do know that, like, let's say Dak Prescott re-signs with Dallas, whether it's, I don't know, this offseason or next offseason. And, well, Brock Purdy wouldn't be a free agent after this season, but I believe after next year, let's say the Niners don't pay him. I do think that the New York Giants would overpay for Brock Purdy. I do think that a team like in a couple of years, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, would overpay for Brock Purdy.
The Raiders?
The Las Vegas Raiders might overpay for Brock. They're probably going to try to make a run at Dak Prescott.
When you say overpay, you're saying $60 million.
Yeah. I agree with Austin. Okay. $60 million is a lot of money.
Hey, I've heard talk that number could be a 7 by the time next year rolls around if he plays well.
I mean, in all seriousness. If he puts together another top 5 MVP season, which I believe he was top 5 last year, I don't know how he isn't. And look, he might regress and the numbers might not look as good. I'm stacking his resume against other quarterbacks that have been paid in that stratosphere. And I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a $50 million. There are 8 quarterbacks right now that make $50-plus million per year.
And Tua is one of them. I have a hard time.
I don't think Tua is worth 53 per year. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is worth 50-plus per year. I don't think Jared Goff is worth 50-plus per year. But again, all of these guys have made that money. Do I think that Brock Purdy is worth $60 million? No, I don't. But that doesn't mean that he can't get paid that.
It brings a larger sort of question to all of this. And I think I brought this up earlier. Do you think that we've gotten to the point where spending money on quarterbacks has gotten out of control?
I do think there will eventually be a market correction.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's coming sooner to wide receivers, to be honest, because as we've seen, there are a lot of really good young wideouts, and they seemingly come out every single year.
Puka Nacua.
Well, and Puka Nacua is a fourth or fifth round pick. I'm just talking about the guys at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just talking about the guys at the top of the draft. There were 3 wide receivers taken in the top 15 this year. And one of them is probably going to be a game breaker in Harrison's kid. You know, Adunze is going to get a lot of looks in Chicago with Caleb Williams. I think Malik Nabers doesn't have a great quarterback, but it doesn't mean he can't be good on the Giants. Like, there are wideouts that are...
Daniel Jones, Hayden?
Come on, man. All right, for everybody who doesn't know, Devone does have a bit of a soft spot for Danny Dimes.
Stop!
And I think if the Giants could, for example, pay Brock Purdy this year $60 million instead of paying Daniel Jones $45 million or whatever money he's making, I think they would do it.
Are you watching Hard Knocks?
I watched the off-season one with the Giants. I haven't dialed up the Chicago Bears one yet.
Yeah, well, the New York Giants one, that's one of those where you're revealing a little too much, fellas. Like, I get it. It's a reality show. Well, let's pull back a little bit here. Get some guys under the bus.
I always wonder where your allegiance lies. Your allegiance.
In terms of football?
Shout out Allegiant Stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the 49ers.
King of the Coast. Juggle them both.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see San Francisco. You know what I pull for? I always tell you this. And Carter, you could attest to this.
Atlanta
as well.
Falcons.
As you get closer to, as a sportscaster, as somebody that gets intimate with some of the players, you begin to pull for good people.
Whoop.
No, I'm serious. You know these guys, and you begin
to. You know
to,
Daniel
like,
Jones personally?
No.
Oh, no, I'd believe it.
But I just think you begin to pull for coaches and teams and players that you like, that you just feel are good people. You know? And so, you're just like, yeah, I want to see them win.
When you think about likable athletes in the NFL, who do you think? I think Brock Purdy's a likable athlete.
Yeah, I think George Kittle's at the top of that list. I think Debo has a really strong, likable quality, the big smile.
I do love Debo.
Yeah. Are we talking about 49ers or are we talking about across the board?
I think for the Niners, that would kind of round on my top. Like, Nick Bosa's not necessarily... He's a likable player.
Yeah.
But as a person...
Nah, he has no personality.
No, it doesn't really do it for me. Brandon Ayuk is an interesting one. Trent Williams is an interesting one. I think the Niners are generally affable. Yeah. I think they're an affable team.
I have a hard time. I think I told you this, pulling for the Jets because of Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's divisive. I just can't get down with some of his, you know, conspiracy theories and... I know it shouldn't shape my thinking, but it does. And their owner, Woody Johnson. I mean, sorry, bro. Not down with any of that conservatism, but go ahead.
Well, but I also... I don't think we have enough time to go down political party donations for owners.
Thank you.
But...
don't talk about that.
Yeah, thank God we got hit a break in a minute here. No, I think Brandon Ayuk was a guy that... I haven't done like a 180 on. I'm not the guy that's going to
completely... He's pretty introverted though, isn't he? So it's hard to know.
Well, but I like introverted players. Like, yeah. A reason why I really enjoy someone like Justin Herbert is because he is a very introverted quarterback. He's not a rah-rah guy.
Yeah.
And he kind of makes fun of the fact that he hates doing media. It's one of the reasons why I really like Klay Thompson early in his career, because he was totally himself. When he got to the podium, he's very genuine. But he was also up front about, dude, I don't like talking to reporters. I just don't.
Well, along those lines is why I put Steph Curry, to me, as the greatest athlete of all time. Right up there with sort of Muhammad Ali, and I can explain on the other side.
Now, that's a take.
Yeah, right?
That's a take. Also, there is something that our last caller, Austin, said about Brandon Ayuk that I wholeheartedly agree with. That I want to dig into more as it relates to where he stands with the 49ers, and specifically where the 49ers stand with him. Because there is something that I just want to drive home on the other side as we move into our final hour here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game that pertains to this season. Again, preseason game number 2 tomorrow, 5 o'clock, 49ers Saints, Fox Sports, can catch it on KPIX. But also with the goal of winning the Super Bowl. That's what's coming up next. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.